We're this morning back into our teaching, into lining up with God's Word to receive healing. And we've been doing the last two times we've been doing the introduction, quite a bit of introduction into this area of teaching. Last week we ended talking about what the Bible says, and I just want to reiterate there as we go into the first step of the areas of this teaching. But in Hebrews 11:6, which says, "But without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." We really put emphasis on the things because it says believing that God is, and we talked about that, what it means to believe that God is. In some translations, I say that to believe that God exists. Well, that can't be what they're talking about, because if a guy didn't believe God existed, well, then what on earth would he be praying to Him for to begin with, or asking Him? Why would he be trying to please God? It's not talking about God existed. It's about talking about God believing that God is, or God is whatever it is that you're asking Him for. In other words, the Bible tells us that all the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. In the New Testament, it says that. And the fact that God has made promise to us, and in other words, when we go to God concerning His promise, God's faithful. God will carry out His promise. In other words, God is whatever you believe that He is for you. If we look at Hebrews, the 11th chapter, it's called, in most Bibles, they'll put in there as the heroes of faith. In other words, it goes down that where men believe God, and He did for them what they believed Him for. In other words, when you put this scripture, and this is why people pull this scripture out itself and just try to make it into what they want it to be, and it's not. You look at it in its context, and that scripture in its context in the chapter is talking about people. God had promised them something, they believed God, and it happened. In other words, this is that God is. God is what He promises. Is God is. In other words, it's God, it isn't matter God exists. That gets you nowhere. You believing God exists, how's that faith? Just because you believe He exists. You know, I'm sick and I need healed, and I believe God exists. What does that get me? Nothing. So in other words, I seek Him. Well, okay, now let's think about this. Okay, I'm going to seek God. So He's going to reward me because I diligently seek Him. Seek Him for what? You mean I could seek Him like some people say you can seek Him for anything. Well, we talk about that from a standpoint, but we need to understand that He's talking about, the Bible talks about in line with the Word. I can't ask God for something that would be sin. You know, I couldn't say, God, I want this other man's wife over here. Is He really going to give me that person? Is He going to do that for me? Well, no, He's not. So there's things I can't ask God for. And you always get people over on the ridiculous side. They'll say, well, see, you can't ask God for anything. That's right. You can't ask God for anything. But according to His Word, I can ask anything according to His Word. And I'm guaranteed that's for sure. So what His Word tells me I can have. So it's God is what He says He is. We need to get in line with that. What God says He is, that's what He is. And He will reward you and me according to what He is. We're in a covenant with this God. You're a child of God. It says He's a rewarder of those who what? Diligently seek Him. In other words, the diligently seeking Him, it doesn't mean I have to get after God all the time to get Him to fulfill His promises. Sometimes people almost have that thinking. You know, if I want something from God, then I really have to, you know, keep asking Him and hounding Him for it to get Him to do it. It's not what this is talking about. The diligently seeking God comes down to this. If you seek Him, you'll find Him. In other words, you get revelation of who He is and what He is. The more we seek God, the more we learn about Him, what He's promised, who He is, and what He does. So the person who doesn't diligently seek God never finds those things out. He'll be limited in his areas to be able to believe God. He's limited because he'll have limited knowledge. The knowledge of God comes through seeking God. In other words, I seek God in His Word. It's like the study of the Bible. Now, you know, nobody would ever become a mathematician or, you know, would become, you know, some, you know, genius in the area of math if he didn't study and get math books and learn theory and all that kind of stuff. He wouldn't become great at doing it if he only ever did it casually, you know. You know, people don't become great, you know, mathematicians. They, you know, end up going and learning all kinds of stuff. And in anything in life, it's like that. If you want to, you know, an auto mechanic, you know, you might be a backyard mechanic and do some things, but I'll tell you, this day and age, the backyard mechanics are going by the wayside. Why? Because if you don't learn electronics, you forget it, because everything that's running the cars, I mean, the cams and everything today are electronically run. If the electronics isn't working, it don't matter. I mean, those mechanical parts need electronics to make the stuff work. And it's amazing what the things are able to do today. And but what has happened, somebody has to diligently do some study to learn that stuff. And I mean, and as complicated as it's electronics getting, I'm going to tell you what, you need some diligent study to figure some of that stuff out. I mean, you got to get in there, do some serious understanding to figure out how they do some of this stuff, because it's really complicated. It's amazing. We start our engines and our cars, it's how easily it does it. But if you understand what's going on under the hood, it ain't nothing easy about what's going on under there. It's really complicated. It is amazing, the stuff that it does. But, you know, so it's the same way with God's Word. The further we are diligent to seek God, the further you're going to go in your understanding. The more you're going to learn how God operates, functions, what He's promised, what He does. And it's not, the more you understand that, the more reward you get from it. But isn't a natural life like that? The more we understand things, the more reward and benefit. You know, just like a cell phone. You know, they said that most cell phones, the average cell phone, the average person does not use something like 94%. Of what it can actually do. 94, the average person does not use their cell phone for 94% of what it can actually do. You know, I've sat with just this little, this is a dummy phone. This isn't a smartphone, I always call it a dummy phone. Now you can go online with it and stuff and things, but it's a dumb phone. But just with this one, I mean, if I go through all the things and the things and the software and stuff that are in this thing that you can do different stuff and do things, well, I mean, there's a ton of stuff in here that I don't use. I use my phone for a lot more than most people would probably use their phone for. You know, you can do stuff. I mean, you can use all your calendars and everything and set all your appointments in here, you know, and it tells you when your appointments are due, and you can put all that stuff in here. And this is a dumb phone. This ain't even a smart one. But yet it'll do all that stuff. You can do all these things. It'll do all kinds of stuff for you, and that stuff you can check all kinds of things out. And it's a, you know, just sit down and look. And this and I ain't got near the stuff that a smartphone has can do. This, you know, smartphones are. But the more I am diligent to find out what it does, then the more is offered to me of what it could do to benefit me. Now I found some things in it. I found that it does that I can just do easier myself. Well, you'll find that out. Sometimes certain things are, you know, that they have they have their automatic way of doing it, but it's really not a great way of doing it. It's not, you can do it another way easier. And, but, you know, the more you're diligent to study, the more you're diligent, the more reward you will get because of the knowledge you will gain of it. You couldn't study about God and end up, you know, where you wouldn't get more reward in life if you begin to understand how God operates. It'll always bring you more reward. And so we're teaching on the areas of healing. So the more we're diligent in our study, the more we look at what the Word of God says about healing, and the more you understand the subject. It's like I've said, I have done huge amounts of study in the areas of healing. That was one of the things, I really think a lot of it was prompted by God. God prompted me to go over into the areas to study in the areas of healing. And one of the things is, you know, God's, I've learned Kenneth Hagin. Kenneth Hagin said that people generally, as Christians, are the jack of all trades and the masters of none. And he said, there's things that we need to master. You need to become the master of. It's like from a ministry standpoint. One of the great emphases of ministry that God has always used me in is in the areas of healing. That's what God's called me to do. But God wanted me to understand the subject. You can't convey to somebody what you don't know. You can't convey. In other words, people can go no further, really. Jesus said people go no further than their teacher. Now, Jesus said that. Is that true or not? In other words, it's just like a thing. I could go starting off. God gave me a good healing teacher, Kenneth Hagin. Really good healing. He understood this. He understood divine healing. Most healing teachers that even you'll listen to or even on TV or talk about healing, they don't even understand divine healing. They don't even know the subject because they don't really understand how it works. They know ministering to people under the healing anointing and things like that. But that isn't teaching a person how to walk in health. That's not teaching a person how to do it. It's learning how to do it, learning to teach people how to walk in health. Well, in other words, if I wanted to learn any subject, if I wanted to become a neurosurgeon, I would have to get to go to school with somebody who are neurosurgeons to teach you. You know, doctors go through a general medical courses, but then they specialize, and they specialize into areas. And if I wanted to be a neurosurgeon, you don't go down to the eyes, nose, and throat, division they got down there and go through the training there to be a neurosurgeon. Because you have to go over to that person, and so, to learn from people who know how to do that and understand that. And we need to understand that about the Bible. This is why there's different people I listen to on different subjects, because there's some people who are just really a lot better on certain subjects. They're called to God to do that. People listen to too many people in general. You know, there's one thing, I listen to very, very few evangelists very much, generally. Now, there's evangelists, I like to hear their message and stuff, but generally, they're not very helpful to me. Like, Benny Hinn's not somebody I'd sit and listen to a lot, because he doesn't have much to offer in the areas of teaching. Benny is more on the side, healing under the anointing and that stuff, but you're not going to learn much about divine healing and stuff and walking in it through Benny Hinn. You're not going to learn much of it. You're just going to sit and watch him on his shows and the healing, and stuff. And, oh, isn't that neat? Wow. And it is. It's neat. People get healed. But loads of those people getting healed don't know a thing about faith. Now, that doesn't make Benny's, God gave him that ministry. But, his ministry is more geared toward the world than it is toward church. But that's what it's supposed to be. His emphasis is out there toward people who are either not born again, or maybe they're in Christian groups that don't teach much about healing or even know about it. He introduces a lot of people to the areas of things of the Holy Spirit who wouldn't know, don't know those things. Praise God, you need those ministries. But for me to learn, I'm going to need to listen to somebody who's teaching in specific areas, who teaches me how to do things. Not just to watch things and think they're neat. See, a lot of people do that. A lot of people, they like to watch these certain ministries, and stuff, but they really are not getting taught. That's what happened to a lot of people, say, years ago in PTL. PTL was really a baby ministry. And that's why all the babies got hooked up in that stuff and all that stuff got messed up, because it wasn't bringing across to people Christian development. It wasn't bringing across. They'd have some good teachers sometimes, but they never had enough to teach, and they spent all their time trying to raise money and do everything else. But, they'd have good, these guests, and they would interview. Interviewing a teacher isn't listening to teaching. Or, sitting on a show. And that's why you want to sit down. There's things that you have to systematically learn. And, systematic learning is not as much fun as, manifestations of gifts of the Spirit. But the outcome is greater. Jesus Christ told Kenneth Hagin, I did not put gifts of the Spirit in the church for the Christian. He said, I put them in the church for the world. They are to minister. He said, I put gifts of the Spirit to the world. He said, Christians are supposed to be able to believe me. They're supposed to be able to believe God for healing. They're not supposed to have to wait for a gift of the Spirit to take place. Did you ever notice that when you go, gifts of the Spirit are manifestation in services? Not even every sinner gets healed in those services. Did you ever notice that? Not everybody gets healed. So if I have to rely on gifts of healing to get healed, I'm taking a chance. I can't be guaranteed that I'm going to get, I have no place in Scripture that I'm guaranteed that I can be healed by a gift of healing. I have no place in Scripture. But I do have a place in Scripture that I can stand in faith and believe God be healed. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, so, now look, it didn't take a lot of an effort for a person who don't know nothing about healing to get healed with the gift of the Spirit. It don't take much effort. It might seem really neat, but what happens when you're sick again and you can't get it? And that manifestation don't come. Well, what do you do now? But if you learn how to operate by faith, you diligently seek God, you can be rewarded every time. See, to me, the payoff is so worthwhile. So let's diligently look at what God says. Let's diligently look at it. Why? Because I am guaranteed reward. A person of faith is always guaranteed 100% of reward. 100, that's it. You're guaranteed. Whatever level your faith is, here's the wonderful thing about it. I don't care where your level of faith is. You're guaranteed at least reward to wherever your faith's at. Isn't that better than not getting any reward? Isn't that better than going to a service and not getting nothing? Man. So in other words, wherever level I'm at, how far I can believe God, this I know. I can always get something. I can get rewarded on something. See, to me, that's good news. So it's like when I started off as a Christian, that's the way it worked. I started off, I can believe to certain levels on certain things, and you could believe to a certain level, God would bless you. But, I got blessed on the level I was on. And this is the most wonderful thing. When I found that out, that Kenneth Hagin said this, he said, the highest level of faith, the highest level that you can walk in is you believing God by the Word without any kind of aid of manifestation of the Holy Ghost or anybody else, doing it, praying for you or anything. You just believe God and receive what God has for you. He said that's the highest level of faith. Well, you'd never know that in the church world today. You'd think manifestations of the gift. So you'd think Benny Hinn, his ministry is operating in the highest level of faith when he's ministering to people. Benny may be operating a level of faith, but most people he's ministering to are way below him in the level of faith. Way below him. Now, that's good. Hey, I'm going to tell you what. If you can't get a hold of something, get a hold of what you can. And if you can get a hold of somebody that can get a hold of more for you, well, go ahead and do it. That's good. Be smart. But we can develop and grow. And you know what? I'm just telling you this. It don't take you 20 years to learn to walk in divine health. It don't take you 20 years. I got born again January 1980. And since January 1980, I haven't had the flu one time. And since that time, I haven't gotten the flu. Now, I'm going to tell you what. I definitely didn't start off knowing what I know about healing now. But walking in the light of things, you don't have to. It doesn't. If you believe what the Word says and walk in light of what the Word says, and you believe what it says, you'll take off in this area. It's not hard to do. It's believing what the Word of God says and acting on what the Word of God says. That's what it is. And getting yourself over, because stuff comes against you, standing on the Word of God. God will reward you, and that's one thing. That's one thing from a standpoint of a good teacher. I believe Kenneth Hagin, he taught that, if you went after the things of God, you'd be rewarded for it. I just believed it, and I went over into it, and I stayed into that area. Something tried to come on me. Well, I just learned to resist and stand against it. I learned to believe God and how to operate in the area, not getting over any areas where believing that God wanted me sick or something. Getting over there thinking right. So find out, be diligent to look in the Word of God. Find out what God's Word says about Him and what He is and what He does. And believe it, and He becomes that to you. Really, that's what Hebrews 11:6 says. God will be to you what you find out as you seek Him. He will be that to you. He'll be whatever it is that you need. So, but we must line ourselves up with the truth of God's Word. So, we have to have strong faith about God's reward. You need to develop yourself in the area of God as a rewarder. That if I seek God, you're going to find Him. You need to, it's good to get it on your mouth, saying things that God will reward you. Is saying to yourself, and even when I'm necessarily not around other people, even when you're to yourself, say it with your voice. God's going to reward me. God will do this for me. Because if you don't learn to talk like that, people say, people who talk by themselves are crazy. I'm a totally believer. If you don't talk to yourself, you're crazy. Because I'm going to tell you what, you're hearing stuff. Well, not even audible voices. You're hearing things. Your mind is thinking things. And your mind, you're a gateway to your heart. And if you let your mind keep thinking on stuff, after a while, it'll be in your heart. That's why you want to control it. I'm going to talk to myself. I say things. I talk because my mind, who's hooked to my body, will say other dumb stuff. My mind will get over into thinking in areas that it don't belong in. And I don't want it to go there. And it'll bring doubts to you. But it's amazing the power of your own voice when you say, hold it, I ain't going there. This is what God's rewarding me. I don't care if it looks like it's getting worse. I don't care what it looks. God is rewarding me. I'm believing God. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So He's rewarding me. Hallelujah. and get yourself into those areas and begin to speak about what God says. So we must believe, and we want to continue in the areas of believing God in what He says He is. Now, we're going to start to lay a foundation on some things here. I want to do this today, and we're going to look at the first foundational principles here. And the first foundational principle that if you're going to learn to walk in the areas of divine healing, in the areas of how to use divine healing, and these will help you. I mean, where you're at in these areas, this will help you. Now, it doesn't mean that, you know, you can't go along and go to a doctor or something. You know, sometimes if your faith's not in a certain area to do something, you have to walk on the level your faith is. To try to do it some other way sure ain't going to work. Remember that. Not seeing a doctor is not faith. Not taking medicine is not faith. That's nothing to do with faith. Faith is believing what the Word of God says. That's what it is. You got to walk in the light of what you understand and have. See, I know people, you know, at times is, I know a guy today and he's dead. And one of the things I talked to him about, and it doesn't surprise me that he died, he wouldn't go to doctors. But he didn't go to doctors because he used to, oh, I'm going to believe God. He used to always say, I'm going to believe God. But I sit down and talk with him about it because I knew this. He's afraid of doctors. And you know what? His fear of doctors ended up killing him. See, many people try to use faith to cover fears. You can never do that. Don't ever try to use faith to hide your fears. Fear must always be dealt with. If you have fears, then you can't be in faith. You can say around people whatever it is, you know. And I say, well, I don't take medicine. Some people are afraid of medicines. They're afraid of medicines. They're scared of them. Well, you don't want to do that. You don't want to be on the other side. The other thing, too, is you don't want to just take any medicine that comes along. It might not be a smart thing to do. One of the things is listen to your heart. You know, one of the things is I hear this all the time. Ministers say things like, well, you prayed for it, but don't quit taking your medicine. Understand, it isn't up to me to tell a person to take medicine or not to take medicine. That's up to their own heart, them and God. Some minister ain't got no right to tell you unless he's heard from heaven to tell you not to take your medicine. If God tells you to stop, you better stop. God wants you to stop. At your level, you know, there's times that I wouldn't take anything for something. I just didn't do it. People say, we got to take this. Like, you know, people say, well, take a flu shot. I don't need a flu shot. I don't need one. I ain't had one since 1980. I don't need a flu shot. Well, I don't get the flu. But you know what? And on the other hand, there's people I'd tell them, you take a flu shot. And, you know, people say, well, they see all these problems. Well, use your faith and believe God. It ain't going to kill you. It's going to work for you. Use your faith somewhere. Well, see, people who think like that, they don't take flu shots because they're afraid of a flu shot. I ain't afraid of a flu shot. I could take a flu shot. It wouldn't bother me in the least. It would mean I wouldn't get the flu or not. It don't have a matter of thing with me because I don't get the flu without them. So, now, you guys understand what I'm talking about. See, people are doing many things out of fear. They're afraid. And they call it faith, and it's not faith. I'm not afraid to take a flu shot. My words, you know. These people say, well, the government's going to make people take a shot. Well, I'll go down and take a shot. Don't matter to me. It ain't going to change my faith at all. It don't have nothing to do with nothing. I go down there, they say what they want, do what they want. Why would that make me, if I take the flu shot, I'm disobeying God. I ain't disobeying God. God never said I couldn't take a flu shot. If the government says, I understand why the government would require people to do it. Because even most Christians ain't got enough faith to keep flu off of them. The government's, I mean, you think about it. I mean, like Kenneth Hagin said, he said science had made some really good strides. He said they practically, you know, eliminated polio because of making a vaccine. You didn't have to believe God in 2 seconds. You could take the shot and turn around and not get polio. I mean, I grew up around polio and saw people with polio, saw what it was. And I mean, today you don't see none of that stuff going on. Man, polio was a big thing. I mean, I remember Oral Roberts, tent meetings that Oral Robert had. I mean, man, people with polio, they'd have people get healed in his meetings. And I'm going to tell you, he'd have stacks of braces of people healed. Polio was a huge thing. But, you know, God gave men wisdom to deal with that. You know, deal with it. That was a good thing. There was nothing wrong with that. Now, somebody could believe God and not get polio and have to worry about polio, but the government said you had to take the shots. See, I see people go through all this contrary. My kids went to school. We understood and believed healing, and they said our kids had to have these shots to go to school. We said, you know, I ain't going to fuss with them over it. Well, you know, the kids could get this or that from it. No, they can't. Shut up. I ain't believing with you, you ignoramus. Take them, give this shot. Why fuss and fight over all that stuff that don't mean nothing? Take them down, have the shots. I know that we wouldn't have to go through that, but nonetheless. You see, there's wisdom to be used in things. You know, people get so worried. What if the government makes me take this? Or well, then, you know, it don't matter. Ed's going to do just fine. And you are too, okay? But don't let fear and don't let people bring their fears into you. Don't let people carry these things, you know, on. I mean, it's just, I often think I have a thing I bought for the church. It's a tape. It's also in a book. When Fred Price's wife had gotten liver cancer. And, you know, liver cancer is basically a killer. You know, you get liver cancer, most people, I believe probably less than 1% of people live through liver cancer. And she got liver cancer. And, you know, one of the things with her is in the areas, if you're dealing with the areas of wisdom, they were believing God for her to be healed. They're just standing in faith, you know, not seeing a doctor or anything like that. And nothing's changing. And Fred Price said this. I heard Fred say it. His wife agreed to it and agreed on it. But said, if God would have healed her of liver cancer, she'd have came down with liver cancer again. He said she just came down with it. She has changed some things. And one of the things it was, God told her to, there was a doctor that went to his church, a doctor who specialized in cancer. And he said, I want you to go to him and you do whatever he tells you to do. That's what God told him. Now, he was a Christian man. I'll tell you what's a good thing. He was a man. He was going to a church of faith, you know, that believed, knew how to believe God. He said, whatever he tells you to do, you do it. He said, if you do, obey it. He said, you'll live. Well, she learned a lot of different things. You know, she said she found out really while she ended up with cancer. She said, the reason I ended up with cancer, she said, was my own foolishness. She said, I never drank water. The only liquid I ever drank was coffee. She said, that's all I ever drank was coffee. I never drank anything but coffee. She said, I never ate any raw vegetables. She said, everything I ate was cooked and fried and everything else. She said, really, she said, my diet was absolutely terrible. She said, what I ate, she said, really, I poisoned my own body. She said, God used that doctor to deal with her about what she was doing to her body. You know, there's nothing matter with drinking coffee, but I'm going to tell you this. You can overdo anything, overdo it, and it'll hurt you. A good thing can end up hurting you. And there's nothing matter with him. As people say, I don't drink coffee. I don't drink coffee because of me. God dealt with me about knocking off coffee, and he dealt with me about that. He never told me how to quit it. He just told me the time to knock it off. He never said I could never drink it again, but I was drinking coffee all the time. I drank coffee all the time, drinking coffee. The Lord told me to knock it off. And I didn't for over a year. Till one day, the voice of the Lord spoke to me. Which he had done a few other times, told me I was disobedient. And when he said I was disobedient, I immediately knew what he's talking about. He'd have to say, you're disobeying me and didn't quit drinking that coffee. He told me I was disobedient because I knew I was supposed to, I just knew in my spirit I should knock coffee off, and I didn't. And I told the Lord at that time, I said, I'll never drink coffee again. And I have not drank coffee since that time. That's been over 20 years, and I haven't drank any coffee in that time period. I just said I wasn't going to. You know, people say it would be, well, maybe then I should drink coffee. I said, no. That's what I said I wasn't. God told me to knock it off because I was over. Really, what I was drinking coffee. Just and people don't realize this. In the eyes of God, God don't. You know, a person who can't quit drinking coffee ain't no different than a guy who can't quit drinking brews in God's eyes. They're addicted. Both of them are addicted. Both of them are out of control. That substance controls them. There's one thing that I will not do, and I've learned this because it will control you. People who say they can't go start in the morning without a cup of coffee are hurting themselves by what they say. You're saying without that thing, and I'm going to tell you what, you know what happens the day that that person can't get their coffee in the morning? They're miserable. And you know what? It's all because they said they would be. They can't start without it. They did that with their mouth. They did that. And that thing controls them. You know, Kenneth Hagin made this statement one time about when he was young, after he got born again, and he was young, he was out working, he worked in a store somewhere in town. He had a job, and he said that some people that worked in the store he was in and another store were friends of theirs they knew, and they would go over, and he said they would go over to the soda fountain and go over in and get a Coke. And he said it got to the point, he said, I couldn't pass that place without going in and get a Coke. And he said, I realized, he said, hold it, this thing's not, he said, and he, this is something God didn't tell him, he couldn't ever drink a Coke, but he just said, I'll never allow Coke to dominate me, I'm never going to drink one again. And he said, to that day, I've never drank a Coke, but he said, Coke was dominating me. He said, I couldn't go without it. It was not, see, people don't understand, and this is things that people don't get. This is why, and look, we're talking about faith here, and using faith. People don't realize the things he said this. And like a lot of people never got it. I got it when I was young in the Lord. I got it. Brother Hagin said, he said, anything you use that you have to use to make your, now he's not talking about we can't quit eating or anything, but he said things we use. He said, even like an alarm clock. He said, I never use an alarm clock. He said, I learned to wake myself up with my spirit. And you know what? I started that back. Probably about in, must have been around 19, the end of 1980 or 1981, I started doing that. You know what? I can wake myself up, but every time I want to get up, I'll wake up. I go to bed, I say this. I am going to wake up at, and I say the time I'm going to wake up, and I wake up. I've learned to do that. You know, practice it. Don't, if you have to go to work or be somewhere in time, practice it. It's not wrong though. Set an alarm for yourself, but learn to practice it. Start practicing that. Using your own spirit to wake you up. I'm going to wake up at a certain time. And, you know, Wanda used to ask me, you know, she'd get up morning and go, do you want me to set you the alarm? She'd say it back. I said, no, you don't set the alarm. I get up. I wake up. And I do. I wake up. I wake up, you know, it's like Sunday mornings. I wake up. Did I get out of bed 5:30? I always wake up before 5:30. I wake up before 5:30. Now, 5:30 isn't my regular wake up time. So this is because I just happen to get up that time and go to work. You know, you get your body into a habit of a certain time. That ain't faith. That's just a habit of the flesh will start to kick in. There ain't nothing wrong with that, you know. You can have that. But it's the learning decision. I'll go to bed at night. I'm gonna go somewhere and I'm gonna leave it. I'm gonna be up at 2:00 in the morning. When I go to bed, I just say I'm gonna wake up at 2:00. I'll tell you about 10 to 2:00, I'll wake up, look over, Wanda's clock's there, it's 10 to 2:00. I wake up, look over. You learn to do that. Learn to use your spirit. He said anything you become reliant on will affect your faith. You know, I found out that's true because I learned to use my faith. The bad part of it is we're always trying to use our faith for big stuff and we never use it for little stuff. And there's a lot of neat things. Just like with this phone, there's a lot of neat little things you can do. And you don't get to enjoy it. You know, to me, it was always just learning that. I learned that out. That was one of the things that helped me build my faith, was learning how to get up, to wake up at the time that I would want to wake up. To learning how to do that. To set my spirit. You know, people say all the time, I forget things. I say, no, I need to remember such and such. You know what but here's one thing. Most people try to rely on their memory without saying. See, I learned how it works. I voice what I want to remember. I say, I am going to remember such and such. I have to make a certain phone call. I have to like say if I had to today. I'll just say, you know, at such and such a time, I need to call so and so. I'm going to call that individual. I say it with my mouth. This is what I am going to do. I make a statement of faith. I am going to do that. I just set my inner man to prompt me at that time. But see, if you didn't set him, he can't prompt you. He ain't going to prompt you for what, just because you had a good thought of it. The thought is not what faith is saying. I believe in my heart, I'm going to do it, and I voice it with my mouth. It is set. So learn to do those things. Don't get into condemnation. Don't Don't get into yourself. It's just like in the areas of healing. The things we're going to teach on. You don't have to start up at the top, because if you don't get into condemnation. See, God don't want you at that place. Your faith will never be built if condemnation comes in. Your faith will never rise up. Your faith will stay down low. I've been setting myself and it ain't been working. Don't get into that thing. You know, just keep practicing and practicing a thing and setting yourself to it. Talk good about yourself in your memory and what you can do. Talk good about yourself. Say the right things. Don't get into criticizing yourself. Don't get into the things because, you know, like say with dealing with medicine, of taking medicine or not taking medicine. That if you start in with that kind of stuff, you're just going to be defeated. I learned this. I learned to operate out of my heart. I know whether I need to do something or not. I always tell people this. If you're in severe pain, take something to manage pain. If you can't get it under control, because it will control you. Pain will control your spirit. It'll dominate anything in your flesh that is super dominating, makes it hard for you to operate through your spirit, because your flesh will get too noisy. There's nothing wrong with it. If you can't control a pain, do something to manage it so you can walk in faith. Be wise. Do something. If you can't stop it and it's too much, dude, there's no shame in that. There's no shame in that. Use your faith to be healed. Taking pain medication ain't healing you anyhow. So you can't be looking to the pain medication to get well. You know, if I cut myself and it's painful and I can't move my hand or something, taking pain medication don't make it heal. Does it? Well, so I can't be believing God. Now, I have learned things about how to control stuff. I mean, with our kids. I mean, our kids and stuff. And you can ask our kids. I got the place I can lay my hands on them and cause bleeding to stop. I'd command bleeding to stop in the name of Jesus, and it'd stop. It'd stop. I surely didn't start there. Say, well, then you don't put Band-Aids on. You know, see, people get weird. Now, I'm serious. You can be led to weirdness. There's a lot of people out here. You know, you ever hear, you know, these people out here, and that stuff, like we have this one guy was just sentenced to prison because his daughter died. He believes in divine healing, so-called, and his daughter died. They didn't get her treatment, and she died. He might believe in the so-called thing of divine healing, but he don't understand it. If he would have been listening to his heart, he would have known his daughter it ain't turning for her. You better know in your heart you can make a stand. I've stood under some dangerous circumstances, but it's because I knew in my spirit I heard from heaven, stand. If it don't come from here, I don't know. I'm going to get something done. As I learned, like with Wanda, I learned from Kenneth Hagin. Kenneth Hagin said, you know, God instructed him about, see, his wife couldn't stand where he could on some things, in the areas of healing. And God told him this. He said, you go and you agree with her where she can stand, not where you can stand, where she can stand. Well, I learned that with Wanda. But we saw some absolutely, I mean, like Wanda, she had a foot operation one time, and they told her like how long she was going to be off and all the pain that she was going to be in because of, you know, where they had to operate in the bottom of her foot and what they had to do. They had to go in and cut. There were some tendons, there's things got messed up, and some bone they had to cut away, and that stuff really got messed up. And she had this she believed she could have the operation and God would, turn that around. She believed, they said she's gonna be in all this pain. She said we were agreeing she wasn't gonna have pain through the thing. So we went, and that's what she could believe, is to have that. And I got to agree with her, okay? We went and had that operation. She had that operation done. They gave, in other words, the anesthetic that she had taken. The doctor told her when she got home, she just obeyed the doctor and took a pain pill when she got home. And he had these ones with codeine in. Wanda's never done good with any of that kinds of medication. It always makes her wax her out. She gets like, almost like, don't know what's going on. She took one of those. She wasn't in any pain when she took it. The doctor told her, so she didn't get, don't let this pain get out there, man. So she took one of those pills, and it just sort of whacked her out. And she said, I ain't taking no more of those pills. And she never had any more pain. She never had any pain. When she went back to the doctor, I took her back to the doctor, and the doctor checked her foot out. And the doctor thought she was lying that she never took any pain pills. Wanda said, I never took none of the pain pills. That one that you told me to take, the rest of them, she said, never took the one. He said, oh, don't tell me. He said, the pain you'd have. She said, I never took any, nothing. I don't think he ever believed her. You know, well, he knew what he knew, you know, and generally that's, he's dealing with people and they don't know how to do that stuff. They're not believing God. Wanda knew, but see, now God helped Wanda supernaturally. She was back, they said she couldn't wear a shoe for 6 weeks, and 3 weeks she was wearing a shoe and back at work. They told her she couldn't walk, she wouldn't hardly be able to walk on it after 3 weeks. Well, my words, were only a few days she's walking around. Well, see, did she get something supernatural happen? Well, on the level where she believed, she got something supernaturally done. Well, yet she went to a doctor. See, that's why I say, it's like people think, well, you know, it's, I'm going to go to the doctor. You have to use faith, because if you don't have faith, you're going to only get what everybody else gets without faith. Is don't ever do that. If you go to a doctor and a doctor tells you it's 6 weeks for that to clear up, don't you dare ever go around saying that. Don't you dare ever, because you will shut down everything that you just said, I will not have a quick recovery. Jesus told Kenneth Hagin to pray for people who were going to the doctor for a quick recovery. If you're saying what everybody else says about the same kind of thing, then you're not going to have a quick recovery. So you need to understand those things. This is why voicing the right stuff, saying the right stuff, just, hey, you set with what you can believe. Can you believe that, you know, like Wanda said. Wanda said, I'm going to be wearing a shoe. Can you imagine Wanda without shoes on? She just can't. She goes away. She wasn't wearing one of those crazy boots. She, not Wanda. You know, she got to put a shoe on. Wanda said in 3 weeks she was going to be wearing shoes. And the doctors told her, she had shoes on, wearing them, didn't bother at all. Feet didn't bother. Well, she said she's going to. Her faith, but she believed that. I just agreed with her faith. And she got every bit of what she, everything she agreed, we agreed with, she got everything. Well, see, that's supernatural. So this is why you don't let somebody, you know, unless they've heard from God, not ask a minister, did you hear that from God or is that just your wind blowing? They don't tell you to take medicine or not take medicine. You know, you don't listen to what somebody, you listen to your own heart. And this is why it's too many people are listening to somebody else who is just talking about their belief. You let God talk to you. God deals with me on where I can believe from and where I can stand. God will encourage you to take stands on higher places. There's times that he'll come along and he might tell you not to take medicine because he's trying to get you to a place to learn to stop that thing where you can stop it. And he wouldn't tell you to do it unless your faith could carry that out. And you'll never reach that place if you keep doing what you want to do. Or you keep listening to what somebody else says. Sometimes you can't stay on the safe thing. You can't go there. You know, you have the opportunity. You know, it's like the Lord that told me, you know, to like a time with Elena. Elena had, you know, fell in school and hit her elbow and that stuff. And they thought it was broken and they had her in a sling and stuff. And we were said we could take her either, you know, in to have the x-rays done and or, you know, to the hospital and send her to the hospital and that things. And anyhow, I mean, Elena at the time was only like 10 years old. And I was going to pray for her about the thing. The Lord spoke to me. This is one thing. I've never had a time that I've had an emergency or something where God didn't speak to me. See, if you'll learn to listen on the, and I'm not talking some audible voice, on the inside, just on the inside of me, I knew he's talking. He said to me, don't you pray for her. She knows how to believe God. He said, you have her pray for her and you agree. But he said, but I asked him the question. I said, well, what about her going in the doctor? What should we do? He said, I want you to tell her this. If she goes into the hospital, he said, then she'll have to have a cast put on and things. He said, I'll help her, but she'll have all this stuff done. And he said, she goes in the hospital, these things will be done. And, he said, or, he said, she can believe me for divine healing and I'll heal her. He said, you give her the choice. You tell her whatever she wants to do. He said, you let her know. So, I went in and I sat down with her. Elena was in her room in the bed and I sat down in the bed. She was sitting in the bed and I said, Elena, I said, this is what the Lord told me. And I explained to her what he said about her elbow. But I said, we can go in. Do you want to go in? I said, which way do you want to go? Do you want to go into the hospital? I said, there's no shame if you want to go, if you believe. But I said, the Lord told me I couldn't pray for you. He said, he told me, you know how to believe and you know how to pray. Now, he told me, I agree with you. I said, what do you want? I said, do you want to go into the doctor? I said, this is your choice, honey. Do you'd feel better about going into the hospital and have a check and that stuff? Or I said, do you want to just believe God? I said, which do you want? You tell me. She said, well, Daddy, I want to believe God. I said, okay. So I asked her about scriptures to stand on. What are we going to stand on? And she knew exactly what to stand on. She knew what the word said. And she quoted me some scriptures, and I said, okay, you're going to pray, and I'm going to agree with you. So we prayed, and, you know, you don't pray like, you know, my word, I don't know if we prayed in 2 minutes. And we were done. I said, here's the biggie. I said to her, I said, what we're going to do, we're going to take time and worship and thank God that he's done what he said. See, these most people, they go up and get prayer, and then they go walk away and act like God. Now, you should take, if you spent 2 minutes praying, asking God for it, you should be spending at least 20 minutes thanking him you got it. If you ain't doing that, you're not really operating over in the area of faith. That's why most people never go over in the area of faith. They never act like they got a thing. They walk away, you know, they just do the praying part. No, when I believe, once we believe we received it, and I told her, I said, okay, once we believe we received it, now let's thank God he did it for you. So we sat there for a while just praising and thanking and worshiping God and thanking God. And then I stopped and got up and left the room. I mean, I never checked it. I never, you know, took her sling off or anything. I just left the room. I said, okay, praise God. I said, you're healed. Hallelujah. And I left. See, most people would be pampering their child and trying to, see, most people, you got to watch what you do, your actions and what you do. The reactions have to be up to that individual. You know, one of the things, we coddle sickness and disease. That's why it stays around so long, you know. You get sick, you get gifts. That's what we teach children. We teach children, you get sick, you get presents. Well, why not get sick if you want some? Why not get sick? Because, you know, if they're well, we don't buy it for them. But if they get sick, we get it for them. Go to the hospital, I want my cards and my flowers. You know, we got to have them things, man. Well, Elena was in her bed. I went out, just went out of the room, went just doing my regular stuff. It wasn't no more than 15, 20 minutes. Elena came out. She said, Dad, my arm's completely healed. She could move her arm, move it up over everything all over the place. It was black and blue all through here where she had hit it. When she came out, it was about a quarter size black and blue mark on there. In a couple of days, that went away. But that's all it was left when she came out. Everything was completely healed. Everything was fine. She was healed. Well, all we did now is, there was no shame. God didn't tell me, well, she can't go to the doctor. He said, whatever you choose, you just tell her, you know, that this is what's going to happen if she goes, does that. This is what takes place. She just told me, he told me to tell him that. He did that one time with Alyssa. When Alyssa was real little and fell off a jungle gym and fell down on her head in our backyard. We had a swing set thing back there and she fell and she had a really bad concussion. And one of the things is do is I always check on the inside. You know, people just get into a panic and let's get to the doctor, let's do this. And I just on the inside, Lord, what should I do? And just as clear on my inside, my spirit, he said to me, you can believe me, or he said, you can take her to the hospital. He said, but if she goes to the hospital, he said, she's going to be in there a while. Well, I had a choice. He's just telling me. See, God will tell you things about outcome if you listen. Now, you know, I'll tell you what, it wasn't fun nor easy to stand believing, you know, it's your daughter. And I mean, I was in the military and in Vietnam. I know what concussion is. People can die from concussions and stuff if things aren't treated. I understand that. But you know what? I know God would have never told me if my faith wouldn't work. He would have never told me to try to stand for my faith. See, this is why I've heard people say this. I had a guy come to me and tell me, well, God wants you to go to a doctor because this woman, God told her to go to the doctor. And I didn't say nothing to him. I figured, you know, he don't understand it. God wouldn't tell you to stand in faith for something you can't believe. He would never do that to an individual. That'd be absolutely dumb. Because he would be setting you up for failure. You know what? God would be setting you up to sin. The Bible says whatever isn't of faith is sin. It'd be a sin for you to try to stand in faith when you couldn't. You see, God ain't going to do that. God's not going to force you into a place to stand where you can't go. The devil will try to get you to go there. The devil will try to get you to go. He'll try to use fear. Oh, yeah, yeah. What's it? If you take any medicine, you can't really believe. Yeah, right. You know, the devil will do that kind of stuff. See, we need to be very careful in these areas where people believe they're operating in faith and they're not operating in faith. Faith where the will of God is known. If I'm in an area dealing with something and I'm not so sure, I want to know what God says. I want to know what God says, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. That's why I've never been under a severe circumstances where God hasn't spoken to me. Why? God, He always will, because He always wants to bring faith to you. If you don't let fear overtake you, because fear is a powerful force. When fear is in operation, you get around anybody that's in fear, they can't hear their heart. When fear is in domination, they can't hear their inner man. Their inner man would, really, the Holy Ghost would have to manifest in a very supernatural way for them to hear something. Because fear really grips your soul, and you can't hear your spirit. So when that fear is going on, that's why you got to learn to. The people have to learn to stand against fear. You can't. You have to learn, and that's just why. As you learn to develop in the areas of faith, faith overcomes fear. You know, here's the area: is a person walking in love. A walk of love is a walk of faith. Perfect love casts out fear. Why? Because fear. What does fear have? Torment. Fear always has torment. Anything that brings torment to you is fear. God does not torment you in the areas of standing in faith. When torment comes, you can know it's not God. God will never try to shame you into believing. That ain't going to work. He won't shame you into believing. That's stupid. He's not going to do that kind of thing. God is going to lead you to a place where you can stand and believe. He knows in your heart. What He wants you to know is to identify in your own heart where you can stand, what you can stand and believe. Do you want to please God? It's standing where you can believe, not where you can't believe. Not trying to believe for divine healing when you can't. That would be dumb. But if you can go to the doctor and believe for a quick recovery, that would be pleasing to God. If you could go there and do that and walk in that, that's pleasing to Him, because you're acting in faith where you can. He'd be glad. You know, when Fred Price's wife listened to that doctor, she totally recovered, 100%. Liver cancer, 100%. She went through chemotherapy. He told her, the doctor told her, put her through chemotherapy. God said, you listen to everything that doctor tells you to do and do it. She said she went through chemotherapy. She said she wouldn't believe God. She wouldn't get sick. She used her faith. And she went through chemotherapy without being sick all the time and things. And she went through severe chemotherapy. You know, you get over in those areas, they're interested in killing that disease, and that stuff can really mess up the rest of the body. You know, so that's why you want to use your faith. People who don't learn to use their faith in those things get into trouble. As I read an article about a guy, needs a heart transplant now because he was treated with chemotherapy for cancer, and it ended up destroying his heart. The chemotherapy killed his heart. Now he needs a heart transplant. And that's why you want to be able to believe God. You want to, God, this medicine's going to work in me. Not, oh, we take chemotherapy. Oh, I don't know. They say this. They hold it. Get into faith. That's why I always tell people, I don't believe in going to doctors without faith. These people think of going to doctors an easier way. I don't know about that sometimes. You want to learn to use your faith in God. Whatever you do, trust God. You're going to have a recovery. You're not going to go to the doctor and end up worse off than what you were before you went. If you know how many people I've had people, neighbors and friends of Wanda's and stuff like that, that have gone through, lately have gone through awful things from doctors and hospitals. They have had worse problems from their doctors than they've had in the diseases they've had. Doctors and hospitals doing crazy, crazy stuff. Because people, I want you to understand, we're living in a day and age when sinners and people that don't know God are insane. And they think they're doing good, but they can't think. I'm going to tell you what, there's demonic stuff going on out here and that stuff, and people don't know the obvious. We aren't supposed to be one of that group. You and I are supposed to be smart. And we are. We have the mind of Christ. We have all the information we could need living in us. He's called the Holy Ghost. He's God the Holy Ghost. And He'll protect you. And use the wisdom to listen. To listen to the Holy Ghost. Listen. When it comes to your health and things, listen to the Holy Ghost. Don't just sit and listen to some magazine, or somebody tells you what health and stuff is. I mean, they have this thing here, hepatitis A. you know, and coming from frozen berries. And, you know, and I'm sure all the health food people were eating them because they're organic berries. All these people in this health food stuff have this idea that I eat health food. You better have faith on anything you eat. I don't care how much you think it is. Now there's people coming down with hepatitis A out of those berries. Well, you know, you don't have to worry about that if you know how to believe God and have faith. But, you know, the word organic on the box is the biggie. You know, now it is. It's the biggie. Well, the Lord told me there's no such thing as health food, and I believe Him. Because He said you wouldn't have to sanctify it through the Word of God and prayer if there was any health food. People need to get their minds thinking correctly. And so we haven't gotten over in the area starting off in the first steps. The Holy Ghost has had me talk about these things. But I think these things of introduction that I'm doing are really good, especially in these areas of learning to listen to God. And, you know, don't walk. Fear is a terrible, terrible thing that people are dealing with all over the place. I mean, I have never seen so much fear in operation around, you know, in people's lives and stuff and things. And don't allow it to. God will always lead you the area to help you. When Jesus told Kenneth Hagin that divine healing is healing without any kind of physical aid, whether doctor or any other kind of medications or anything like that, he said divine healing. But he said if a person goes to the doctor, he said pray for them to have a quick recovery. And he said, I'll give them one. He said, do that for them. In other words, God wants to get involved. Don't ever live over in the areas of shame. Fear will put you in the areas of shame and everything else. You don't have to prove something to anybody else. It's like Brother Hagin said, if you can't believe God, he said, go to the doctor, live another day to fight. He said, don't go roll over and croak just because of your arrogance and your whatever else. Don't let the devil talk you into something stupid. You know, if you can't stand in an area, there's no shame to that. Nobody can do everything. Dear Lord, if they say they can, they're a liar. You stand where you can, but listen to your inner man. Listen on the inside. Faith is of the heart. It's of the inner man. And listen on the inside. And you'll know, do I really believe this or not? Boy, sometimes on the outside, boy, it seems like you can hardly believe a thing. You'd be amazed how many times you look on the inside and you think, my words, you know, I do. I believe that's true. I believe it's right. And man, there's a war going on the outside and in the mind. But on the inside, they're full of faith. Many times people are saying they don't have faith, and they didn't have faith. They're not using their faith to fight the war in the mind. The war in the mind, believing in your mind is not going to bring about what you want. It's believing in your heart. That's what brings about what you want. And so walk in line with those areas, and I will guarantee you this. You will always be blessed. God will always reward you. And hopefully next week we'll start in the areas. And when we start next week, we're going to look at really starting the first area of something that you have to believe. And I just want to close it with this, is believing the area. That you're going to have to believe that it's God's will for you, for all, not just you, for all to be healed. You need to get that. Nobody's going to come over and really have any success in the areas of health and healing if they don't believe it's God's will for everybody to be well. You got to get that in yourself. That's God's will. That's His plan. God's will is for everybody. But because, you know, it's one thing, you know, what happens is if we get over in those areas and you don't believe that, you might see somebody else. And what happens is you'll sit and look and say, well, you know, that person over there, I've heard people say, well, you know, God healed so-and-so because, well, they're a minister and they do this or they do that. See, those people set themselves up for failure. You know, God, faith don't have any preferences. It don't care what you're called to do. And you get yourself, and we're going to begin to look in from a scriptural standpoint because we're going to I want you to be founded in the truth, in that truth, that it is God's will for everybody to be well. Because really, if you don't have that in you, the rest of what you know about divine healing, which is good, you'll find that those things you're going to have a hard time trying to ever get through in faith. Because there's going to be things that will happen and come along and it'll cause you into question, and after a while you won't be able to stand. You have to have that foundation in you first, where the enemy can't come to you and say, well, see, you've messed up or you've done this, so therefore you're not qualifying. Well, you can say, well, if I messed up, I could confess my sin. I could get back in line again. But this is one thing. I could keep myself from not being healed because of my stupidity, but I can never blame it on God, ever. See, that's what you want to... You've heard me say this so many times. If God's against you, you ain't got a chance. You ain't got a tip. If God doesn't want you well, you can try anything you want. And I'm a total believer in this. If God didn't want you well, it's a sin to go to the doctor. It'd be a sin. Because you're going against the will of God. You're trying to cure what God wants you to have. It'd be a sin. See, this is why there's so much crazy thinking out here. Insane thinking. Christians have nutty thinking and on the other hand are trying to believe God. And this is why it doesn't work. These things have to be cleared up. We have to get these things very clear. As you know, always, you know, as a Christian, God's on your side. God's for me. God's all. If I'm in a situation, I don't care if I did dumb. God never quits being for me. He'll always want to help me out of the situation. He'll always want to get me back on track. He'll always want to bless my life. Jesus said this to Kenneth Hagin in a vision, personally said to him, he said, I bless my people as much as I can all the time. God's always trying to bless. He wants to always, he tries his best. Sometimes we do things that shut the door for the blessing. But it isn't because he's not trying to bless us. We do that. You know, I do that. So, when we look at it, we'll lay that foundation, start laying that foundation out. Because God wants everybody, and everybody to know, even every sinner. You tell any sinner, God wants you well. God's not against sinners. Do you ever think about it? Jesus and his healing, he went to the Jews. Not one of them was born again. He sure did a lot of healing down there, didn't he? And God will bless people, and that's he is in the blessing business. Hallelujah. So let's close there in prayer. Father, I just want to thank you as we look this morning. I thank you, Father God, that you led us in a little bit different direction, Lord God, than we had planned or I had looked at. But Father God, I just want to thank you, Father, for encouraging them and Lord God, strengthening them. Father God, giving whoever listens to these messages hope. Lord God, in the security of your love, that Father God, that you're working for them, you're not against them, you're always trying to bless them, and Father God, Father, I pray that they can understand the things that, Lord God, that I've spoken. Lord God, that they become revelations to their hearts. Lord God, that they understand these things. Lord God, where Satan can't get in to bring fear and worries. Father God, that they can rest and trust in you no matter what comes along in life. Father God, they're going to overcome. They're always going to come to the top. Hallelujah. They're always going to be blessed because they're your children. Hallelujah. And Lord God, you're surely in the blessing business. And I want to thank you, Father God, for all the hope and encouragement that you're giving them, Father God, to stand and trust you. And Father God, they will overcome in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.